spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Amen. So we've read all of Matthew 28 this morning. So I'm going to be referring to little bits of that chapter as we move through the message. What I've called the message, give it its title, is Jesus is alive and we must go in his name. Jesus is alive and we must go in his name. So over the last few days, we've been commemorating and thinking about two very important events, two crucial events. Firstly, on Good Friday, we remember that Jesus has been crucified, that he has died upon a cross. But today, on the Sunday, we celebrate he is risen. And the two are intertwined. Jesus, as I'll explain, had to be crucified. Pastor Joel's always already mentioned that in his reading during communion from the letter to the Hebrews, that Jesus had to die. But also he had to rise again. Because if he had just died on the cross on Friday and stayed dead, as every human being does, then he would be perhaps a martyr. Perhaps he might be remembered as a good teacher. But without rising, he could not be a conquering saviour. And so, yes, he had to die. Yes, he had to rise. It's all part of God's plan. So first of all, let's look back at Good Friday. So I'm going back, stepping back a couple of days now. So Jesus has been crucified and he died. First of all, I want us to remember that this was not a secret thing. This was not done behind locked doors. The crucifixion of Jesus was a public event. In Matthew 27 and verse 39, it says, "And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads." It was a very public event. Any crucifixion was a public event in those days. Just as in this country, until not so long ago, if criminals were being executed, they were public events. And hundreds and sometimes thousands of people gathered to witness somebody usually being hung in this country. But this was a very public event. People followed the men who took their crosses out of Jerusalem to Calvary. They followed them. They jeered at them. They mocked them. And when they got there, they watched as the Roman soldiers carried out the execution. It was a very public event. And if you're taking notes, that's the first P. There will be several. But first of all, it was a very public event. This was not something hidden from public view. There were many witnesses that Jesus was nailed to the cross. Secondly, that crucifixion was painful. We read, even before he went to the cross, that he was beaten, that he was scourged with whips, that he was then nailed, his palms and his feet nailed to the cross. And the awful way that people being crucified died wasn't so much the blood loss, but it was suffocation. As they tried to keep their breath going, eventually they would suffocate. And that is how most people who were crucified died. through suffocation. It's a very painful death and often would take many, many hours. One of the accounts, witness accounts, said that because it was going to be Passover and it was a holy day, the Romans didn't want to leave the men on the cross, so they wanted to kill them, make it short, so they thrust a spear into Jesus' side just to make sure. But the testimony was that he was already dead. He definitely died. There's no doubt about that. He didn't just swoon on the cross. He didn't feign death. He truly died. And some people might say, wasn't it terrible? Such a good man. A man who helped people, healed people, taught people to die like this. But the Bible tells us this. In Acts chapter 4, it says this, verse 27. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. The early disciples understood that it was God's plan and purpose that Jesus should die. That whatever Pilate and the crowd did, it was all planned by God. It was planned by God, or purposed by God. You've got two different P's there, whichever you wish to use. This was no accident. Jesus didn't go to the cross by accident. It was the plan and purpose of God. Now, of course, crucifixion was a punishment for crime in Roman days. And many thousands, sadly, were crucified for being criminals. It's a punishment for sin. The Bible tells us that he had no sin. Jesus was sinless. He was the innocent one. Well, in order to take away our sin and the punishment of our sin, the Bible tells us that Jesus became sin for us. He paid that price. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 it says, For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. So it was a punishment for sin on that cross, but it wasn't Jesus' sin that was being punished. It was your sin and my sin. So it was punishment as he was crucified. And it's a terrible death that Jesus suffered. But we have to say, and we have the benefit of hindsight because we know that Sunday was coming. It's also very precious. It's a precious sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. Knowing that you, that's us, were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Jesus. So, Jesus was crucified, died, he died publicly, painfully, by the purpose and plan of God. He was punished for sin, our sin. His punishment, his crucifixion, was precious. But he didn't stay dead. And that's why we can celebrate today. Because Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen. Hallelujah. He has risen. And first of all, just as his death was public and publicly seen and witnessed, so his resurrection was. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 6, Paul tells the Corinthians this. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. 500 people at one time saw Jesus alive. It wasn't just the inner circle of disciples. It wasn't just Peter and John and Mary Magdalene and the close disciples who saw Jesus alive. At one time, 500 people saw him publicly alive after the crucifixion. And I believe that it's because of those 500 that the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus being alive, spread so quickly and so rapidly around Jerusalem. Because many people saw him alive. It is very public. Secondly, not only was it public, it was a physical resurrection. Now, some people would say, oh, it was a little bit mystical. You know, the disciples just thought they saw Jesus. It was an apparition. Well, first of all, you know, mass hallucination of 500 people seeing him alive is highly, highly unlikely. But we're also told in the passage we read that Mary Magdalene, in verse 9, it says that the women came to Jesus and held him by his feet and worshipped him. They didn't go up to him and grasp thin air. They worshipped him. It talks in John's Gospel of Jesus preparing breakfast for the disciples who'd been out fishing. This was not just a spiritual reawakening. This was not an apparition. Jesus physically rose. Now we know from the Gospel accounts that he had other qualities and capabilities than he demonstrated before. Before his death, but he was physically alive. So publicly and physically. Next, what he did was productive. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first fruits. That means he's the first. If he's the first, there are going to be those who follow. And the truth of the gospel that we proclaim, the message we proclaim, is that just as Christ rose from the dead, so all those who put their faith in him will also rise from the dead and have eternal life. What Jesus did by rising has effects for us, for everybody on this planet, that those who put their trust in Jesus shall also rise again from the dead. Death has been conquered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a powerful death. It's a powerful death. In Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, it says this: if then you, that's us, as believers, were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, at a place of authority, a place of majesty. It's powerful resurrection. Hallelujah. It tells us, in the letter to the Hebrews, in chapter 12 and verse 2, that we who are faithful, we need to be doing this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a productive, powerful, powerful death. Amen? Well, we had 5 P's about Friday. We need 5 P's about Sunday. So we've had Jesus has risen publicly. He's risen physically. He's risen productively. He's risen powerfully. But above all, I want us all to grasp this, he has risen personally for us. This wasn't just something for the early believers to experience. Those who met with Jesus after he rose, by his Spirit, we can meet him personally now because Jesus is alive. His Holy Spirit is still here and he can meet with you and he meets with each one of us who put our trust in Jesus. Jesus is alive not just for those, for Mary and Peter and John and the other disciples. He's alive for you and he's alive for me. And as I have declared, by his Spirit, he is with us. And indeed, the message of the gospel is that those who put their trust and faith in Jesus and his finished, productive, powerful work on the cross, they will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and give us new life, an endless life, eternal life. a forgiven life, a life that's full of grace, a life that's received the mercy of God. All because Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. Now, I've read a couple of verses that talk of the authority of God. And I want us to really grasp hold of just how powerful Jesus is. What authority has Jesus got? And I want to say he has all authority. He has authority over politics and government. He is greater than any prime minister, any president, any king or queen. He has authority. Our God is still the sovereign God of all the earth. And we may look and we see what's going on in the world with this terrible pandemic. And I want to declare that I believe that our God has not lost control. That over and through this, he will accomplish something. I don't know quite what he's doing, but I trust him that he's allowing this for a purpose. And Jesus has authority over all politics and government. In these days, some are putting their trust not in politicians and government, but they might be putting their trust in industry and business. Now, business will find a solution to this, or industry and science will find a way through. And everybody, of course, is praying that the scientists will find the cure, that God will give them the wisdom to find the cure. I want to say that Jesus is more powerful than any scientist, any business leader, any industry leader. He is more powerful and has authority over it all. He's more powerful than any educator. Yes, he was a great teacher. His teachings resound down the years, and we need to take them on board and we need to be obedient to his commands. And education is wonderful. I still remember our former Prime Minister, Mr. Blair, saying what was so important was education, education, education. And I still believe that, but we need to know that we need to be educated aright. And we need to be educated, I believe, in God's word. And God in Jesus is above every educator. He has all authority over those things which many of us do put our, make into almost little gods, sports and leisure. And isn't it strange now, all these great sportsmen, now idol. Some of us have made them an idol, O-D-O-L, and now they're idol, I-D-L-E. And we can't look to them because we realise they're just men and women just like us. I give thanks to some of the sportsmen are giving something back to the community. I've been reading recently of some of the footballers donating money to funds, which is fantastic, and we applaud that. Recently, I got a phone call from a player from one of the teams that I support. They had a scheme. And I'm not sure how I take this, but they had a scheme that if anybody knew an old or vulnerable supporter to get in touch with the club. And thank you, Sophie. Obviously think I'm old and vulnerable. She got in touch with them and I got a phone call from the goalkeeper of the team. It cheered me up no end. Apart from the thinking, am I that old and vulnerable? But Sophie, I do thank you and you are forgiven for thinking of me that way. But it's a lovely gesture by the club to call up those who perhaps are isolated and so on. But these are just men and women. They're not idols. They're not to be idolised. Jesus is far greater. If we're going to put anybody on a pedestal, it must be Jesus and him alone. And I'm not advocating we make statues of Jesus. I don't think that's what we should be doing at all. But in our hearts, enthrone him and crown him Lord of all. Amen. He has authority over every life on this planet. Our time is coming to an end. At the beginning, I said that this message is called Jesus is Alive and We Must Go in His Name. And I'm referring back to the last few verses of Matthew's Gospel that we read earlier. Jesus came and spoke to his disciples saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I've been talking about that a little bit already. This is his word to them, and this is the word to us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's Jesus' command to the disciples. It's his command to us too. What are we to do? Go to all the nations. Now, at the moment, physically, we can't. We can't just nip on a plane and go and visit another country. But we can go through technology. We can go through a phone call. We can go through the internet. We can truly go to all nations. And I'm so thankful that God has allowed his church to have that opportunity to reach out to many people who normally wouldn't go near a church or a church building. But now, as church, we can bring the gospel into their homes, to bring the light of Jesus and bring the hope of the gospel to them. Go to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that's going to be difficult because of social isolating. I'm looking forward to the day when we've got the buildings open, that church after church will be packed with people having baptismal services because people have made a commitment to follow Jesus in these times and now, in obedience to his word, are being baptized. That's got to be our prayer, isn't it? Just in front of where I'm standing, we have a baptismal pool. And I'm looking forward to the day when we can fill it up and baptize not just ones and twos, but many, many people who have come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord during this crisis. Baptizing the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. We've got to get the teaching of Jesus out there. We've got to teach them what Jesus actually said. Not hearsay, but what the Word of God tells us he commanded us to do. So let's ensure we continue to teach and preach the word of God. And as we do this, as we go to all nations, and as we teach in his name, and as we demonstrate the truth of his word through our actions, because words without deed are worthless, and as we have opportunity to do good, let's do good and help those who need it. We have this promise, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when we go in his name, and when we teach in his name, and if we give help in his name, then he too is with us. By his Spirit, Jesus is with us. Jesus is with you now. As you listen to these words, Jesus is there by his Spirit. And I just want to encourage you, take this opportunity in these days to talk of Jesus, to pray for those who as yet do not know him as Lord and Saviour. Read more of his word so that you will be able to teach what Jesus has commanded. Sometimes it's useful if you've got a Bible, and they call them red letter editions, and I find them helpful. Because the red letter editions have all the words of Jesus written in or printed in red. So you can go and say, yes, this is what Jesus actually said. This is the witness, what the witnesses say that Jesus said. And take those commandments and make them part of your life. And act upon them. And we're told in the Bible that we are to be able to give the reason for our hope in every and all situations. Let's get steeped in the word. Let's listen to the word. Let's read the word. And then from out of what we've brought into our hearts and minds, we can give out. As we are blessed by God's word, we share it and share the blessing. Thank you for listening to this message. I hope it's one that will encourage you with the truth of the gospel, the truth of the account of what happened to Jesus on the Friday and what happened on the Sunday, that he is alive. And let's take that message of hope to a world that needs hope in these days. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to close now in prayer. And I wish you a very happy Easter. If you are able to have your exercise, your walk, go and enjoy the sunshine of today. If you're having to self-isolate, I pray that you'll know the warmth of God's love in your heart today. And know that whilst you may be isolated, you are not alone, because God is with you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you that today we are celebrating that Jesus is alive, that he's living forever in the power of an endless life. I thank you, Jesus, that you are seated in that place of authority at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And I pray, Lord, that we may grasp the power of that truth. Lord, speak to our hearts. For those who are cast down, Lord, lift them up. May the countenance of your face shine upon them. Lord, may we be blessed in our homes, blessed when we go for our walk, blessed in whatever we are doing today as families. Lord, may we be able to spend time communicating to those who we cannot meet today and bring them encouragement. And share your love with them. And we thank you, Lord, that you are, as your word says, you are with us always, even to the end of the age. Amen.